If you are renting right now, you might as well be setting your money on fire.
The Worth Report, featuring Nick Wharton and Glenn Wright.
Sellers can name their price and get whatever it is they want because there's not a lot of houses out there that are for sale.
We'll take a look at the past, present, and future of the financial landscape and discuss how it affects you, your family, the world around you, and most importantly, your retirement.
Charlotte actually fared pretty well through the economic downturn. I mean, things did slow down, but they didn't just absolutely cave in on themselves.
This is The Worth Report. Now, here are your hosts, Nick Wharton and Glenn Wright.
Good Saturday. Welcome to The Worth Report. I'm your host, Nick Wharton, along with Glenn Wright, founder and president of Worth Financial. Each week, we'll bring you news that you can immediately use to manage your financial planning and offer commentary on local, national, and global events that affect your ability to sustain your financial future. Glenn, my friend, how are you doing this morning?
I am fantastic, Nick. All is well. As I mentioned before, my mother has moved here to Charlotte. So I'm just excited. We've got good weather here. It's a little warm. That's for sure. But I'm loving the weather. I'm loving the sunshine. How about yourself? How you doing?
Well, I can feel that big smile resonating from you just talking about your mother.
Yeah, man.
I get it.
Yeah, man.
I feel you.
Indeed.
I feel you. Well, you know, I had a historic moment just the other day.
Okay.
I just happened to be one of perhaps 10,000 who heard our president here in the Queen City. And he endorsed Hillary Clinton. That was an incredible moment for all of us and a big moment for the city of Charlotte, you know. And so, you know, throughout that whole experience, just had to think for a minute. Wow, this is really happening here.
Right.
And then, of course, I thought about you. And let me tell you why.
Okay.
So I'm leaving, right, on my way home, and I realize there's a major traffic jam, you know, in the city because the president has stopped at his favorite place to get some barbecue. Then I heard he used a personal credit card. And I said to myself, I wonder if that is a 12-month zero-interest card.
Yeah.
Something that we often hear. And I thought about you.
Nick, I'm going to tell you. You know, the president is on his way out of office. So he's really getting his travel reward points because since he can't fly Air Force One anymore, he's going to be flying first class using his credit card points.
Wow.
That's it.
Okay.
That's it.
There you have it. What a great segue into managing your financial future. Well, today we have a good friend of ours, Freeman J. Burns. He's the broker in charge of Freeman Burns Realty. And today we're going to be talking about purchasing, managing, any way one might finance real estate, because we realize that is a huge route to personal wealth. So Freeman is a broker who's been in the business for about 5 years, I understand. He hails from Detroit. He is a family man. Been married 14 years with two great children. And he's also a man of God. He loves family and he loves football. So we're glad he's here with us today. Freeman, how you doing?
I am doing well, Nick. Thank you for having me.
Excellent, excellent. Well, let's just jump right on in. Why is it important for anyone to purchase real estate?
Well, real estate is usually the best vehicle that people have to increasing their personal wealth. Most people are looking to do three things in real estate, and there's three reasons that you would want to own a home. The first would be to have the opportunity to build equity. The second thing you'd want to do is provide a stable and safe environment for your family. And third, people want to be, you know, the freedom to choose their own neighborhood. So, you know, those are some of the top three reasons, according to the National Realtors Association, why people are looking to buy a home.
Wow. Well, so you just hit one hot button for us here at the Worth Report. For several weeks, we've been talking about this whole notion of economic mobility and how you know, families increase their social mobility in a city that has been deemed, you know, last in the nation for growing wealth for working and poor folk. And the issue that comes over and over again is the one of residential segregation and the ability that one has to purchase a home in the right neighborhood, and schools become important. So how important are schools, do you think?
Schools are usually at the top of everyone's list when it comes to purchasing a home, especially if they have children. schools are going to be a main driver of, you know, you used to say, you know, real estate was about location, location, location.
Right.
Well, when you're in a city like Charlotte, you know, you want to be within the right school district. You want to make sure that you are in the district that has, you know, a good rating. A lot of people go to, you know, websites and they check out the school's rating before they even look at anything else.
Do they really?
Yes.
Wow. And they ask you about that.
Yes, they do. Hmm. Yes. Now, as a realtor, I'm not supposed to have any say-so or what's good or what's not good because everything's relative. Hmm. But we ask the people, hey, you know what? If you want to know more about a particular area or what you deem as a good school or not a good school, then, yes, there's plenty of information out there on different websites and people can do their own research.
Yeah, that's interesting. I just remember moving here in 2003 and we had similar question. And so we ended up purchasing a home close to Providence High School because that's what we knew coming from New York was a top flight school. And our son was a senior and quite frankly, failure was not an option. Right? So I remember the caution that the realtor had talking about schools. It was very strange, actually. So how do you manage that?
You know what? We kind of defer a little bit because, like I said, we want to be more impartial. We don't want to say, hey, you want to live in this neighborhood or live in that neighborhood, because there are resources out there available, greatschools.org and a couple of, you know, School Hub, where you can find some of these ratings out there for the different schools. But most of the time, you know, parents do their research. I mean, most people start their search for a home on the internet, you know, 6 to 9 to 12 months out ahead of time. So they're also looking, like I said, which school districts are the best school districts, which have the higher ratings. And then that is going to drive where people actually end up, you know, saying wanting to land.
First of all, Freeman, two things I want to bring up before I ask you my question. You're from Detroit, so
yes.
I already knew you were a great person. As soon as I heard you were from Detroit. So.
Go Lions.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
What's
happening? My hat? See, Nick, very, very funny, Nick. Very funny.
It's a football team, right? I'm sorry.
Very funny. Very funny. What made you move from Detroit to Charlotte? What was the main catalyst for that reason? And why not, you know, because you started, you were working the first in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
What made you move to the Carolinas?
Well, you know, my wife has family here, but my wife and I, soon after we, you know, we both graduated college and we were looking to purchase our first home. And at that particular time in Detroit, there were, you know, they had just announced three massive layoffs at, you know, the major employers, which were Ford, GM and Chrysler, you know, 30,000 jobs apiece.
I remember that
were leaving. So we knew at that particular point in time, we did not want to, you know, stay in Detroit. And my wife has family down here. She said, hey, why don't we go visit Charlotte? Which I had never been to Charlotte before. So it was, you know, a new experience for me. But we came down here, visited, and we loved it. Now, we still love Detroit, but, you know, there's just really no comparison as to, you know, saying there to here and the amount of opportunities. My wife works in accounting, so she's working at Bank of America. I have, you know, 10 years experience in pharmaceutical sales in a previous career. But, you know, there those opportunities just weren't there. So, unfortunately, we were a part of that, you know, young, urban, educated class of folks that were looking for opportunities outside of Detroit.
What led you to go from pharmaceuticals into real estate?
You know what? I actually saw a lot of my peers over the, you know, last few years of my career. The pharmaceutical industry was laying off people left and right. And I would ask, hey, so what are you going to do next? Or what's the, you know, what's the next step for you? And a lot of my peers had no real answer to that. And they were like, hey, they were so addicted to the company car, the company credit card, and, you know, the, you know, working from home. And they just had really no answer. And I have to say that it was my wife who was the one, you know, we like HGTV like everyone else and House Hunters. And my wife said, hey, babe, you know, you could do that. And that prompted me to go and inquire about getting my real estate license. And here I am 5 years later. Now, it hasn't been the easiest transition, that's for sure. But it's one that I don't regret. It did take a little bit of time getting out of that employee mindset and stepping into an, you know, entrepreneur ownership mindset. But I absolutely love it. I love working with people. I love what I do on a day-to-day basis. No 2 days are ever the same.
Wow. So what was the the large challenge making that transition? Because we have individuals who we've interviewed who've also had to make that adjustment.
I believe the initial adjustment is to figure out what it is that you want to do while you're still working your regular job. I was just having a conversation with a young lady just yesterday who has a wonderful job, great job, but she's unfulfilled. And so therefore, you have to figure out what it is you're passionate about and what it is that you love to do, that you're good at, that you can do while you're still getting that paycheck every 2 weeks. Because, you know, in my industry, you know, when you don't have that steady money coming in all the time, then, yes, you have to learn how to budget. Yes, you have to learn how to tighten up the belt quite a bit. And right. I leaned on my wife quite heavily in those first couple of years of getting my feet wet and getting, you know, getting my foundation started.
That's powerful stuff.
Good support system is key.
Exactly. Right. And planning.
Yes, absolutely.
It sounds like the two of you had quite a few conversations in the middle of you starting your business and clear communication in order to make, to get your business to grow.
Yes. Well, and you have to look in retrospect too. I got my license in 2009. So the financial collapse had already happened and there were more people. I mean, I can remember like yesterday, my real estate class was virtually empty. There weren't a lot of people looking to get their real estate license in 2009.
People were giving them up around that time.
Absolutely. Yeah. And getting regular jobs. But now that the market has turned, I mean, I understand now that the classes are full and there's people, you know, coming all out of the woodwork right now that are looking to cash in on this real estate market.
So how do you assess this real estate market? Because I understand even during the downturn, while certainly we hit pretty drastically, we sustained. And
yes.
So, and all these places, I think they were called pipe yards. What do they call these places that were built but never developed? They had these piping up all on the ground.
And yes.
Now they're all. What's the term for that?
You know what? I'm not quite sure what that term is, but I can tell you one thing. This market is absolutely on fire.
Yes.
I mean, I've sold several homes this year at full price. No concessions, no closing costs. I mean, because the lack of inventory is so low and people are migrating to Charlotte in droves. I mean, there are people who are moving here that don't even have employment, but the opportunities are greater than where they are in somewhere like Michigan, for instance.
Sure.
So when you have that perception, and then like say, Charlotte actually fared pretty well through the economic downturn. I mean, things did slow down, but they didn't just absolutely cave in on themselves. So with that, we're moving into a stronger recovery. I mean, just things are just flying. Homes are flying off the shelves right now. I have several homes that I've sold this year that have been under contract within 24 to 48 hours.
Wow.
Full price, multiple offers. And so it's been relatively easy to sell property in today's market.
What's the main reasons for that? Do you think because of employment figures? Do you think it's the lack of inventory, income? I mean, what type of things are you seeing? I mean, are most of your buyers coming from somewhere else and moving here? What do you think the real driver is?
There's a couple of things to that. I think that some of the main ones are interest rates are still really low.
Yep.
I'm seeing clients right now getting, you know, interest rates still below 4%. I mean, 3.875. on a property I just closed last Friday for some very well qualified clients. So interest rates are low. Inventory is also low. Mm. So in our world, you want to have at least for everything to be equal, you want to have at least 6 months worth of inventory, 6 months worth of homes to sell. Well, anything less than that, now you're at a shortage. Now you're looking at, you know, what we're in right now and have been for the last almost a year now, a seller's market. Sellers can name their price and get whatever it is they want because there's not a lot of houses out there that are for sale. So the demand is higher from buyers. I mean, you know, there are buyers out there that are competing with one another, you know, that are paying over and above asking price because there's not enough homes to sell. And if you're one of those folks that have to be in a certain neighborhood, you want to be in a certain school, then yes, you're limiting yourself to an area, then yeah, you're going to pay for it.
So for sellers who want to, you know, sell their home and they're a little anxious about whether they'll get the asking price or not, how do you coach them around those issues? Because it gets kind of anxious. Now, my second part of that question is how long does it take? What's the window in terms of you trying to sell your home and it's not happening?
It depends on where your house is. And you have to have a good realtor. And so, therefore, you have to have someone that's going to price it correctly. That means somebody coming in, looking at the property, understanding the market, understanding what houses are selling for in that area, and you're pricing it, you know, saying just right so that you draw more than one offer, which is what I try to do. Hmm. I look for multiple offers when I price a property because now I can play one against the other. I can use that to actually get the price up to the asking price, if not over, for my clients. So I would say that if someone's out there and they're sitting on the fence and they're thinking about selling their house, give me a call. I can get it sold for you. Absolutely.
Excellent. That's Freeman J. Burns Realty.
Yes, sir.
You brought up an excellent point on needing a good qualified realtor. What makes a realtor good? Or what makes, I mean, the realtors all over the place, you know, just like their financial planners all over the place. And there are reasons why, you know, that we're certainly the best at what we do. But what makes a good realtor someone who's really good and someone that they should be using?
You know, I would say look for someone that has experience, that has proven experience. And that's one of the things that I try to use to set myself apart is because I knew when I came into the market, it was bad. And the first thing I said to myself was, if I can make it through this and understand how to survive in a downturn, then I will be in a great position when things do turn around, because things turn around in real estate. I mean, they're cyclical. So you definitely want someone that has good experience, and you want someone that is dedicated to their craft. I mean, if you go to my website, you know, I do video testimonials because I understand that people are, you know, people have, you know, great ratings and different things and testimonials. You can type those in. But I actually like to have video where I can have the people explain in their own words how I was able to help them through whatever problem it is or whatever, you know, the issues they were facing. Yes, I do work with a lot of folks that buy property here from out of state. And, you know, they're looking for someone with that local expertise. I don't sell everywhere either. I live in Indian Land, so I service Fort Mill, Waxhaw. You know, I try to stay in the South. If I have someone that's looking in Huntersville, then yes, I would go there. But I'd rather partner with another realtor that knows that area better. Now, that statement alone right there comes from someone who has experience, because I don't have to have all of the business myself to where I do a disservice to a client because I don't know that area.
Wow. Wow. That's you don't hear that too often.
No, you don't. That's amazingly strategic and collaborative. And we don't hear that often at all. So that's pretty powerful stuff. So as you think about, you know, the journey you had in those tough early years, what example comes to mind that really told you, man, this is going to be hard, but you know what? This is going to work.
Wow. You know, I have a lot of examples like that. And those are the things that as I'm learning to navigate what it is to be in a accelerated market, a really good market, those are the memories that keep me humble. And those are the memories that allow me to, you know, want to go above and beyond for the clients that I serve now, because I understand how hard it is to get clients. And I understand, you know, making sure that, you know, the number one thing about people that they have with issues with realtors is communication. So I try to go above and beyond when I communicate with a client about a property. If you like text, I'm texting you. If you like emails, I'm emailing you. If you like phone calls, I'm there to listen. You know, I do have to try to, you know, shut it off to, you know, enjoy family time. But I remember how hard it was to get those first few clients when I first got licensed. And now I treat all of my clients like gold because I remember how tough it was. And I remember, you know, looking at my bank account and saying, okay, well, am I going to have my truck note this month, or, you know, make sure that I have my insurance? And, you know, so those are the things that I think about when, you know, things are going well, and when things aren't going so well, they're never that far behind me to where I get to, you know, really relax, I guess you could say.
Well, I'm looking at you and I'm just thinking that your faith walk had to be a big part of this.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. It did. Yes.
You know, right now there are a lot of millennials primarily, but many people, because of the crisis, who said, you know what, we're not going to buy anything. We're just going to rent. So there are quite a few qualified buyers out there who are still renting, because true, the market is exploding from a housing standpoint. But if you look at these apartment buildings, they're exploding as well. So there are a lot of apartments being, especially in the uptown, midtown areas. From a financial position, what would you, if you were talking to some of these listeners, you know, on our show who are renting, when would be a good time for them to start looking at buying? and
now,
why?
Absolutely now.
So you don't think that this is at the height of the market, that we're too high, that they're going to buy and the price is going to fall?
No.
Okay.
Here's what I say about renters, and this also comes from the National Association of Realtors. Homeowners have a net worth that is 45 times higher than someone that rents. And if you think about it, if you're renting.
Say that again.
Yes. Homeowners have a net worth that is 45 times higher than someone who rents.
How come?
Because they have equity. They have a home. They have something that they can leverage if they needed to. And in today's market, if you own a home right now, then you can find out how much equity you have in that home. And that will tell you, you know, that adds to your net worth. If you are renting right now, you might as well be setting your money on fire. But here's the thing. You're paying someone's mortgage, whether you own a home or whether you rent. So everyone, all these apartment buildings that I do see pop up, I mean, yeah, there. I have a friend of mine who lives not too far from me in South Charlotte, and she is paying, I think, close to maybe $1,800 a month for a 3-bedroom apartment. Beautiful apartment. Wonderful. But it's more than what I pay for my mortgage.
Mm. Wow. Mm. Yeah, so these are stark realities, right, that we realize every day. However, Glenn raises the point about these millennials and certainly how they engage the workplace. Oftentimes they, you know, perceive loyalty to some of these companies to not be very deep, and they'll switch easily.
Absolutely.
You know, notwithstanding Durant recently, you know, that's a whole nother conversation, right? But loyalty to organizations for young people is really not there. So sometimes they don't think that far.
Correct.
To think of investing in a home suggests that I have to have this deeper commitment to this job that, you know, I'm not certain about. How do you work through some of those dynamics?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Because interest rates are low and people are holding on to their homes, and that's just the fact because there's just not enough of them out there to sell. I wish there were more sellers out there so we can get a more of a balance in the market. But think about it. If you hold on to a house, let's say within 5 years, you buy in a nice area. For instance, my wife and I, we purchased our home at the end of 2012. Interest rates were still really low. I mean, they were a little bit lower than what they are now, but our home has appreciated by $60,000, and we've only been there 3 years. So if we wanted to move, we could sell that house for a profit, take that money. We could, you know, we could possibly buy a bigger house. We could, you know, do a tiny house. I mean, mm-hmm. whatever, but that's just within 3 years. So if you are a young person and you have any inkling about purchasing a home, just think about it. If you could stay with that company for 3 to 5 years, that equity is going to build over time. Versus whereas if you're renting, when you leave with absolutely nothing. Thank you very much. You've paid you've paid the mortgage for someone else's dream.
So your thoughts are, if you plan on staying in that city for 3 to 5 years, you should look to buy. But if you're planning on staying there for a smaller period of time, maybe under 3 years, then maybe that's when you should rent.
Yes, if you're just looking something short term and you're not sure where you want to be or what it is you want to do.
Right.
If you haven't found that, you know, saying that, you know, that dream job yet, then yes, renting might actually work. But if that were the case, you know, I would stay with my parents. I mean, just thinking about the amount of money over a year's worth of time. You know, $1,000 a month, that's $12,000 a year that you cannot do anything with. You can't reinvest it. You can't take it with you. You can't invest it anywhere else. That is just money going out the window. So, like I said, but if it's a short-term thing, absolutely. But if you're looking to stay anywhere any longer, then yes, you need to look into getting your finances together for a home.
The reason why I asked that question, we work with quite a few college coaches as well as some professional athletes. And so when they sign, some of these people sign for 2-year deals, right? So if it's a 2-year deal, should they rent or should they buy? I mean, they could afford to buy, but should they still rent versus some sign a 5 or 7-year deal that maybe those people should buy? So tell me your thoughts for the threshold.
You know, yeah, I would say probably.
And let's assume mama doesn't live in that town.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I would say that if you're a transient person, if you're going here to there, you're thinking about, you know, hey, you want to do some travel and do a couple different things, you don't want to be tied down,
yep.
then absolutely.
Okay.
But if you are going to be somewhere, you can never go wrong investing in real estate. So, yes, if I'm an NBA player, NFL player, and I buy a house in the city that I'm playing at the time, you can rent that house to someone else and still mm-hmm. let it build equity, and it can still be an asset for you over time. So mm-hmm. let's say within, you know, 10 years from now, you're in another city, you know, you're playing for another team, or you might even be retired. That property is still making money for you through the renter, and you can also sell that property with and take whatever equity it is out of there. So you can never go wrong investing in real estate.
So let me drill it down a little bit. So let's say I've already made the decision to buy a home. Are there some real particular things I should be thinking about, whether it's my budget? I mean, how do you help folk to work through that whole process?
What I typically do is I give a free 30-minute consultation. And, you know, if it happens to run over to an hour because people have questions, that's fine. I'm more than open to do that for people. But I talk to people about talking to a lender. That's usually the first step, finding out, you know, what your credit is and what your scores are and, you know, how much home will you be able to afford and getting the numbers run and understanding your debt-to-income ratios. One of my personal principles is I will never allow somebody to buy a house with me that will end up being house poor, meaning that they're working to pay their mortgage and they can't afford to do anything else. I want you to still be able to go to the movies or plan a vacation, you know, saying take your kids out. So
save for retirement.
Yes, absolutely. Those are the first steps. It's just understanding where you are financially and understanding how much home you can actually afford. And that's a culmination of things. So like I say, just understanding your credit, understanding where you're going to be on your job. What are some of the things that you're looking to do in the near future? What's your plan? And then we can go from there. Then we can talk about things like, making sure that you are in the good school district, making sure that you have access to good transportation, what side of town you're going to be on as far as location is concerned. Everybody has an idea of where they want to be until they actually look up and see how much it actually cost. Mm-hmm. So you might need to, you know, you might need to shift. You know, you might mm-hmm. be thinking South Charlotte, where, you know, you might find a better deal on the, you know, in the Steel Creek area or up near the, you know, the new Premium Outlets area, which they're, you know, building a huge developments out there as well. So that's where I typically start with a free 30-minute consultation.
Wow, that's powerful stuff.
And that's whether you're buying and or selling. Because mm-hmm. when you're selling a home, you have to figure out, okay, where am I going to go next? You have people that are, you know, in really nice homes in really nice areas. But, you know, if my wife and I, if we decided to sell, we wouldn't know where we'd move because, you know, homes have appreciated so much in our area. You know, we might be actually be priced out of that market.
I see. Mm. Wow. Well, this has just been an incredible conversation, amazingly informative. Freeman, how can our listeners find you?
Easily.
Website, phone number?
Yes. My website is pretty easy. It's my first name, Freeman, F-R-E-E-M-A-N, J, Burns, B-U-R-N-S.com. And my email is Freeman@FreemanJBurns.com. And my cell phone is 704-996-2613.
Wow. Great. Thank you so much for being with us. This has been really informative.
Thank you for having me, guys.
Excellent.
This has been The Worth Report with your host, Nick Wharton and Glenn Wright. To learn more about Worth Financial and to speak to one of their advisors, call 704-731-0121. That's 704-731-0121. Or log on to worthadvisors.com. That's worthadvisors.com.